ಸಾರಥಿ ಝಲಕ್ನ ಆತ್ಮೀಯ ಕೇಳುಗರಿಗೆ ನಮಸ್ಕಾರ. ಇವತ್ತಿನ ಈ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮ ನಡೆಸಿಕೊಡ್ತಾ ಇರುವುದು ನಾನು ಸ್ಮಿತಾ ರಾಮನಾಥನ್ ಹಾಗೂ ನನ್ನ ಸ್ನೇಹಿತೆ ಮತ್ತು ಸಹಪ್ರವರ್ತಕರು ಮಂಜು ವೆಂಕಟ್.
ನಮಸ್ಕಾರ.
ಈ ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮದ ನಿರ್ಮಾಣ ಮಾಡುವುದರಲ್ಲಿ ಸಹಾಯ ಮಾಡಿದವರು ಅಂತಾರಾಷ್ಟ್ರೀಯ ಸಮುದಾಯ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಪ್ರಸಾರಕರ ಸಂಸ್ಥೆ ಅಂದರೆ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಮ್ಯುನಿಟಿ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಬ್ರಾಡ್ಕಾಸ್ಟರ್ಸ್ ಎಮಾಕ್ ಮತ್ತು ಯುನೈಟೆಡ್ ನೇಷನ್ಸ್ನ ವಿಶ್ವ ಆಧಾರ ಮತ್ತು ಕೃಷಿ ಸಂಸ್ಥೆ. ಕಾರ್ಯಕ್ರಮದ ಚರ್ಚಾ ವಿಷಯ ಬದಲಾಗುತ್ತಿರುವ ಆಹಾರ ಪದ್ಧತಿ ಮತ್ತು ಹಸಿವು. ಈ ವಿಷಯವಾಗಿ ಈಗಾಗಲೇ ಕೆಲವು ಚರ್ಚೆಗಳು ಕಳೆದ ಮೇ 12 ನಿಮ್ಮ ಸಾರಥಿ ಜಲ ಕೇಂದ್ರದಿಂದ ಪ್ರಸಾರವಾಗಿದೆ. ಅನುಗೊಂಡನಹಳ್ಳಿ ಮತ್ತು ಸುತ್ತಮುತ್ತಲಿನ ಕೆಲವು ಹಳ್ಳಿಯ ಜನಗಳ ಜೊತೆ ನಾವು ಮಾತಾಡಿದ್ವಿ. ಹಿರಿಯರು, ಕಿರಿಯರು, ಮಕ್ಕಳು ಇವರೆಲ್ಲ ಇಲ್ಲಿ ಮೊದಲು ಇದ್ದ ಊಟದ ಹಾಗೂ ವ್ಯವಸಾಯದ ಬಗ್ಗೆ ಹೇಳಿದರು, ಈಗಿನ ವ್ಯವಸ್ಥೆಯ ಬಗ್ಗೆ ಹೇಳಿದರು. ಅದಾದ್ಮೇಲೆ ಇದೇ ವಿಷಯವಾಗಿ ನಾವು ಇನ್ನೂ ಕೆಲವರ ಹತ್ರ ಮಾತಾಡಿದ್ವಿ. ಕೇರಳದಿಂದ ಒಬ್ಬ ಹಿರಿಯ ಮಹಿಳೆ ಹಾಗೂ ಬೆಂಗಳೂರಿನ ಒಬ್ಬರು ವಿಷಯ ತಜ್ಞರು ಅವರ ಅಭಿಪ್ರಾಯಗಳು ಹೇಳಿದರು. ಬನ್ನಿ, ಈ ಊರಿನವರ ಜೊತೆ ಅವರ ಮಾತುಗಳು ಕೂಡ ಕೇಳೋಣ.
ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಮಂಜು ವೆಂಕಟ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಬೆಂಗಳೂರ್, ಇಂಡಿಯಾ. ದ ಟಾಪಿಕ್ ಆಫ್ ಅವರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ ಟುಡೇ ಇಸ್ ಝೀರೋ ಹಂಗರ್. ಐ ಫೀಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ರಾದರ್ ಐರಾನಿಕ್ that I am speaking about this topic sitting in Bangalore, one of India's most vibrant and cosmopolitan cities. You can find cuisines from practically every corner of the world in this city. Apart from the popular Chinese and European restaurants, we have Tibetan, Thai, Indonesian, Japanese, Vietnamese, Lebanese, and even African food joints. Not to mention restaurants serving foods from all parts of India. And yet, if you look close, you will find that in this huge nation of ours, we have quite a large number of people who go hungry. As per the World Food Program, 800 million people in the world do not have enough food to lead a healthy life. A quarter of all undernourished people live in India. The Indian government has initiated several measures to combat hunger. We spoke to a few people to understand their perceptions on changing food habits and the hunger situation. Let us first listen to 60-year-old Subbamma from Handenahalli, a village near Bangalore, on what kinds of food she used to eat when she was a child. We spoke to her at the studio of Sarathi Jhalak, a community radio station at a village called Anugondanahalli, about 40 kilometers from Bangalore.
Mudde, saru, masuru, tuppa, avaga, matanuglu, ella tinta idru madam.
Subbamma used to eat ragi, which is finger millet, mutton, vegetables, milk. She was a daily wage laborer and had to buy all her food as she had no land. We asked her about the kinds of vegetables that she used to buy, and this is what she had to say.
Alugadde, badnekayi, hirekayi, sorrekayi antavella ittu madam avagana.
Ye hosadagi enadru neevu ivaga nortta idira?
Adhe madam, capsicum. ಇದು ಉದ್ದದ್ದು ಇದು ಬಜ್ಜಿ ಮೆಣಸಿನಕಾಯಿ ಅವೆಲ್ಲ ಇವಾಗ ಹೊಸದಾಗಿ ಬಂದಿದೆ ಮೇಡಮ್.
ದೋ ದೇರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಎ ಚೇಂಜ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ವೆಜಿಟೇಬಲ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಶಿ ನೌ ಬೈಸ್. ಕ್ಯಾಪ್ಸಿಕಮ್ಸ್, ಕ್ಯಾರೆಟ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬೀನ್ ಆಡೆಡ್ ಟು ದ ಅರ್ಲಿಯರ್ ಗೋಲ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ಶಿ ಯೂಸ್ ಟು ಈಟ್. ರಾಗಿ ರಿಮೇನ್ಸ್ ಎ ಸ್ಟೇಪಲ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್.
ವಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಟು ಹರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಚೇಂಜಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಕ್ರಾಪ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರೋನ್ ಇನ್ ಹರ್ ಏರಿಯಾ ಅಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಸೇ.
ಭತ್ತ ಇಲ್ಲ, ರಾಗಿ, ಜೋಳ, ಅವರೆಕಾಳು ಇವೆಲ್ಲ, ತೊಗರಿ ಬೆಳೆ ಇವೆಲ್ಲ ಬೆಳ್ಕೊಂತಾರೆ.
ದೋ ಕ್ಲೋಸ್ ಟು ಬ್ಯಾಂಗ್ಲೋರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅರ್ಬನೈಸ್ಡ್, ಸುಬ್ಬಮ್ಮಾಸ್ ವಿಲೇಜ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಅಗ್ರಿಕಲ್ಚರಲ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ. ದೇ ಗ್ರೋ ರಾಗಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಪಲ್ಸಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನ್ಯೂ ವೆಜಿಟೇಬಲ್ಸ್ ಸಚ್ ಆಸ್ ಕ್ಯಾಪ್ಸಿಕಮ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಕ್ಯಾರೆಟ್ಸ್.
ದ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್ ಮ್ಯಾನೇಜರ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸಾರಥಿ ಝಲಕ್ ರೇಡಿಯೋ ಸ್ಟೇಷನ್, a native of this village, Ravikala, has this to say about the change in food habits in her area.
ಹಾಗೆ ದೊಡ್ಡವರು ಹೇಳ್ತಾರಲ್ವಾ, ಇಟ್ಟಂ ತಿಂದಂ ಬೆಟ್ಟಂ ಪುಡಿ ಮಾಡಿ ಇಟ್ಟಂ ಇಟ್ಟಂ ಬಿಟ್ಟಂ ಕೆಟ್ಟಂ ಅಂತ. ಸೊ ಈಗ ಮುದ್ದೆ ತಿನ್ನೋರ ಸಂಖ್ಯೆ ಕಡಿಮೆ ಆಗ್ತಿದೆ. ಇನ್ನು ಒಂದ್ ಕಡೆ ಹೇಳ್ತೀರಿ, ಮುದ್ದೆ ತಿಂದ್ರೆ ಯಾವ್ದೇ ಕಾಯಿಲೆ ಬರಲ್ಲ, ಮುದ್ದೆ ತಿನ್ನಿ ಮುದ್ದೆ ತಿನ್ನಿ ಅಂತ. ಆದ್ರೂ ಈಗಿನ ಜನರೇಷನ್ ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ಮುದ್ದೆ ಬೇಕಿಲ್ಲ,
ನಮ್ಮೂರಲ್ಲೆಲ್ಲ ಮುದ್ದೆ ಬೇಕೇ ಬೇಕು.
ನಿಮ್ಮ ಮೊಮ್ಮಗಳಿಗೆ?
ಮೊಮ್ಮಗಳು ತಿನ್ನಲ್ಲ, ನಾವೆಲ್ಲ ತಿಂತೀವಿ.
Kala was telling us how her ancestors used to sing in praise of the finger millet and its nutritious value. However, now people are eating less of that millet. Subbamma herself said that though people in her village still eat it, her grandchildren do not like it.
I spoke to my 73-year-old mother Bharati in Kerala about the kind of foods that she ate as a child.
Used to eat only homegrown vegetables. Everything homegrown only.
For instance,
even rice.
What else?
Even rice we used to produce in the field. And all kinds of vegetables.
What kinds?
Brinjal, lady's finger, pumpkin, white pumpkin, like that. Except potato and onion and the things used. Really during some festivals we used to have potato curry, onion, sabji.
What about oil?
Oil only coconut oil. Because we have coconuts at home. So we produce coconut oil from it. And we use it. No other oils, only gingery oil sometimes. That too very rarely. The fruits, we never used to buy fruits. Seasonal fruits only we have. During mango season we used to have mangoes. That fruit we have during the season, that summer season. And like mango. Seasonal fruits means this guava we have. I have never seen apples. As a child, after growing up only, we have heard about apples, but we never see, even in the markets. Also, it was not available.
Now, let us listen to Kala, who's 30 years old, talk about her food habits and how they have changed over the years.
ಅಂದ್ರೆ ನನ್ಗೊಂದು 10-11 ವರ್ಷದ ಮೇಲೆ ನನ್ಗೊಂದೊಂದು ಚೂರ್ ನೆನಪಿದೆ. ಮನೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಅಜ್ಜಿ ಅಮ್ಮ ಇಬ್ಬರೇ ಇದ್ರು, ಅಪ್ಪ ಆಗ್ತಾನೆ, ನಾವು ಚಿಕ್ಕ ಚಿಕ್ಕ ಮಕ್ಕಳಲ್ಲೇ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೈರ್ ಆಗೋಗಿದ್ರು. ಅವಾಗ ಚೆನ್ನಾಗಿದ್ವಂತೆ, ಅಮ್ಮ ಹೇಳ್ತಾ ಇರ್ತಾರೆ. ಅವಾಗ ಚೆನ್ನಾಗಿದ್ವಿ, ಊಟಕ್ಕೆ ಬಟ್ಟಕ್ಕೆ ಏನು ಕೊರತೆ ಇರಲಿಲ್ಲ. ಆದ್ರೂ ಗುಡಿಸಲ್ ಮನೆ, ಗುಡಿಸಲ್ ಮನೆಯಲ್ಲೇ ಆರಾಮಾಗಿ ಎರಡೊತ್ತು ಊಟ ತಿನ್ಕೊಂಡು ನೆಮ್ಮದಿಯಾಗಿದ್ದಂತವ್ರು ಅಂತ ಹೇಳ್ತಿದ್ರು. ಸಡನ್ ಆಗಿ ಅಪ್ಪಗೆ TB ಅಟ್ಯಾಕ್ ಆಗಿ ಅವಾಗ ಅವ್ರು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೈರ್ ಆದ್ರು. ತೊಂದರೆಗಳೆಲ್ಲ ಬರಕ್ ಶುರುವಾಯ್ತು. ಪುಟ್ ಪುಟ್ ಮಕ್ಕಳು, ಅಮ್ಮ ಕೂಡ ಹೊರಗಡೆ ಹೋಗಕ್ ಆಗಲ್ಲ. ಅಜ್ಜಿ ಒಬ್ರು ಕೂಲಿ ಮಾಡ್ತಿದ್ರು, ಅದು ಅವಾಗ ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ಒಂದ್ ದಿವಸಕ್ಕೆ 2-3 ರೂಪಾಯಿ ಕೂಲಿ ಅಷ್ಟೇ. ಇದೇ ಹಳ್ಳಿ ಅಂದ್ರೆ ನಮ್ದು ಇದೇ ಹಳ್ಳಿ ಅಲ್ಲ, ಹೊಸಕೋಟೆ ತಾಲೂಕ್ಕೆ ಕಂಸಂದ್ರ ಅಂತ ನಮ್ಮೂರ ಹೆಸರು. ಸೊ ತುಂಬಾನೇ ಕಷ್ಟಪಟ್ಟಿದ್ದಾರೆ ಅಜ್ಜಿ. ಒಂದೊಂದ್ಸರಿ ಮನೇಲಿ ರಾಗಿನೂ ಇರ್ತಾರಿಲ್ಲ, ಏನು ಇರ್ತಾರಿಲ್ಲ. ನಮ್ ತಾತ ನಮ್ಮ ಅಪ್ಪವ್ರ ಅಮ್ಮ ಇದಾರಲ್ವಾ, ಅಪ್ಪ ಇದಾರಲ್ವಾ, ಅವರು ಇದ್ದಿದ್ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಜಮೀನು ಮಾರ್ಕೊಂಡು ಅವರು ತೀರೋಗಿದ್ರು, ಅಪ್ಪನೂ ತೀರೋಗಿದ್ರು. ಅಮ್ಮನ ಕಡೆ ಅಜ್ಜಿ ಬಿಟ್ರೆ ಬೇರೆ ಯಾರು ಇಲ್ಲ. ಅವ್ರೊಬ್ರು ಕೂಲಿ ಮಾಡ್ಬೇಕಿತ್ತು, ನಮ್ಮ ಅಮ್ಮ ಪುಟ್ ಪುಟ್ ಮಕ್ಕಳನ್ನ ಹಾಕೊಂಡು ಮನೇಲಿ ಇರ್ತಾ ಇದ್ರು. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಟೈಮ್ ರಾಗಿ ಗಂಜಿ ಕುಡಿಯಕ್ಕೂ ಕಷ್ಟ ಆಗೋದು. ಸೊ ಯಾರು ಸಂಬಂಧಿಕರು ಯಾರು ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಮಾಡ್ತಿರ್ಲಿಲ್ಲ, ತುಂಬಾನೇ ಹತ್ತಿದೀವಿ, ಅದೆಲ್ಲ ನೆನಪಿದೆ. ಸೊ ಒಂದ್ಸರಿ ಮುದ್ದೆ ಮಾಡಿರೋ ಮಡಿಕೆ ಇರುತ್ತಲ್ವಾ, ಆ ಮಡಿಕೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಕೊನೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಸೀದೋಗಿರೋ ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ಭಾಗ ಉಳಿದಿರುತ್ತೆ, ಅದಕ್ಕೆ ನೀರ್ ಹಾಕಿ ಉಪ್ಪಾಕಿ ಮಿಕ್ಸ್ ಮಾಡಿ ಕೂಡ ನಮ್ಮಮ್ಮ ಕುಡಿಸಿದ್ದಾರೆ, ನೆನಪಿದೆ ನಮ್ಗೆ. ಸೊ ಅಂತ ಪರಿಸ್ಥಿತಿಯಿಂದನು ಬಂದವರಾಗಿ ಈಗ ಆಮೇಲೆ ನಾವು ಸ್ವಲ್ಪ ದೊಡ್ಡವರಾದ್ಮೇಲೆ ನಾವು ಒಂಚೂರು ಕೆಲಸ ಮಾಡಕ್ ಹೋಗಂತವ್ರಾದ್ಮೇಲೆ ಆಮೇಲೆ ನಾವು ಸ್ಕೂಲ್ ಮಕ್ಕಳಾದ್ಮೇಲೆ ಅಮ್ಮ ದುಡಿಯಕ್ ಶುರು ಮಾಡಿದ್ರು, ಅವ್ರ ಸ್ವಂತ ಬಿಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಮಾಡಕ್ ಶುರು ಮಾಡಿದ್ರು. ಅಂದ್ರೆ ಸೊಪ್ಪು ತೋಟ ತಗೊಳ್ಳೋದು, ಕಟ್ಟೋದು, ಅದನ್ನ ಮಾರ್ಕೆಟ್ಗೆ ಆಗೋದು, ಅಲ್ಲಿಂದ ಯಾವ್ದೋ ಒಂದೊಂಚೂರು ಹಣ್ಣು ಪಣ್ಣು ತಗೋಬರೋದು ಕೊಡೋದು ಅದೆಲ್ಲ ಮಾಡ್ತಿದ್ರು. ಊಟಕ್ಕೆ ಅವಾಗ ತುಂಬಾನೇ ಕಷ್ಟ ಇತ್ತು, ಯಾರು ಕೂಡ ಸಹಾಯ ಮಾಡೋಂಥವ್ರು ಯಾರು ಇರ್ಲಿಲ್ಲ. ಈಗಂದ್ರೆ ಊಟಕ್ಕೆ ಕಷ್ಟ ಪಡ್ತಿದ್ದಾರೆ ಅಂತ ಯಾವ್ದಾದ್ರು ಒಂದು ಸಂಘ ಸಂಸ್ಥೆ ಜೊತೆ ನಾವು ಹೇಳ್ಕೊಂಡ್ರೆ ಅಟ್ಲೀಸ್ಟ್ ಅವ್ರು ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ಮಾಡ್ತಾರೆ. ಅವಾಗ ಈ ತರದ ಸಂಘ ಸಂಸ್ಥೆಗಳಾಗ್ಲಿ ಸಹಾಯ ಮಾಡಿ ಅನ್ನೋರಾಗ್ಲಿ ಯಾರು ಇಲ್ಲ, ಅವ್ರ ಕಷ್ಟ ಅವರೇ ಬಿಡ್ಬೇಕಿತ್ತು.
ಒಂದ್ ಪ್ರಶ್ನೆ, ಆಗ ಮಧ್ಯಾಹ್ನ ಊಟ ಶಾಲೆಯಲ್ಲಿ ಮಧ್ಯಾಹ್ನ ಊಟದ ವ್ಯವಸ್ಥೆ
ಇರ್ಲಿಲ್ಲ
ಇರ್ಲಿಲ್ವಾ? ಮತ್ತೆ ನಿಮಗೆ ರೇಷನ್ ಕಾರ್ಡ್ ಎಲ್ಲ ಇರ್ಲಿಲ್ವಾ? ನಿಮ್ಮ ಅಮ್ಮನಿಗಾಗ್ಲಿ
ರೇಷನ್ ಕಾರ್ಡ್ ಇತ್ತು, ಇದ್ರೂ ಒಂದು ರೇಷನ್ ಕಾರ್ಡ್ಗೆ ಎಷ್ಟೇ ಜನ ಇರ್ಲಿ 7 kg ಅಕ್ಕಿ ಕೊಡ್ತಿದ್ರು. 7 kg ಅಕ್ಕಿ ವಾರದಲ್ಲಿ ಒಂದೇ ದಿವಸ ಅನ್ನ ಮಾಡಕ್ ಆಗ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದಿತ್ತು ಅಂತ ಪರಿಸ್ಥಿತಿ. ಸೊ ಅನ್ನ ಮಾಡಿದ್ರೇನೆ ಹಬ್ಬ ನಮ್ಗೆ.
ಕಲಾ ವಾಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಹೌ ದೇ ವರ್ ಪೂವರ್ ಬಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಫುಡ್ ಸೆಕ್ಯೂರಿಟಿ ಟಿಲ್ ಹರ್ ಫಾದರ್ ಡೈಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಶೀ ಅಂಡ್ ಹರ್ ಸಿಬ್ಲಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವರ್ ವೆರಿ ಯಂಗ್. ದ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಫಾದರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಸೋಲ್ಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದೇರ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಲ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಹೋಲ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ಹಿ ಡೈಡ್. ದೆನ್ ದ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಮದರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟ್ರಗಲ್ ಟು ಫೀಡ್ ಹರ್ ಡಾಟರ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇ ವರ್ ಡೇಸ್ ವೆನ್ ದೇ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಸ್ಟಾರ್ವ್. ಹೌಎವರ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ದ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ವರ್ ಎ ಬಿಟ್ ಗ್ರೋನ್ ಅಪ್ ದ ಮದರ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ಟು ವರ್ಕ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಎಜುಕೇಟೆಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಹರ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ನೌ ದೇ ಆರ್ ಕಂಫರ್ಟೇಬಲ್ ಅಗೇನ್. ವೆನ್ ಐ ಆಸ್ಕ್ಡ್ ಹರ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಫುಡ್ ಸಿಚುಯೇಷನ್ ಅಟ್ ಹರ್ ಹೋಮ್ ನೌ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಸೇ.
ಬೆಳಗ್ಗೆ ಬ್ರೇಕ್ಫಾಸ್ಟ್ ಗೆ ಪೂರಿ ಸಾಗ್ ಮಾಡ್ಕೊಡಿ, ಪೂರಿನಾ ಹೋಗ್ ಮಮ್ಮಿ ಬೇಡ, ಈ ತರ ಮಾತುಗಳು ಬರುತ್ತೆ. ನಾನ್ ಪದೇ ಪದೇ ಹೇಳ್ತಾ ಇರ್ತೀನಿ, ಒಂದೊಂದ್ ತುತ್ತು ಅನ್ನಕ್ಕೂ ನಾವ್ ಎಷ್ಟ್ ಕಷ್ಟಪಟ್ಟಿದೀವಿ. ಅನ್ನ ಸಿಕ್ಕ್ರೇನೆ ಅಯ್ಯೋ ನಾವೆಲ್ಲ ತಿಂದಾಕೋಣ ಅಂತ ಇದ್ವಿ, ಕಚ್ಚಾಡ್ಕೊಂಡು ತಿಂತಾ ಇದ್ವಿ. ಈಗ ತಟ್ಟೆಗಳಲ್ಲಿ ತುಂಬಿಸ್ತಾ ಇದ್ರುನು ಊಟ ಮಾಡಕ್ ಮಕ್ಳಿಗೆ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಇಲ್ಲ, ಬರೀ ಕುರ್ಕ್ ತಿಂಡಿಗಳು ಮತ್ತೆ ಬೇರೆ ಬೇರೆ ಫುಡ್ ಕಡೆ ಅವ್ರ ಒಲವು, ಮನೆ ಊಟದ ಬಗ್ಗೆನೆ ಆಸಕ್ತಿ ತೋರ್ಸಲ್ಲ ಆ ತರ.
Kala was talking about how her adolescent daughter fusses over food, not wanting to eat this item or that, not wanting to eat from a full plate, as against her own childhood when they went without food on some days. Subbamma added how she also used to work for very low wages just so that they could eat.
Now, let us talk to our dear friend Indu Ramesh, who is also one of the producers of this program. She is a broadcaster, author, and a wonderful cook. She is an expert in nutrition and has authored a cookbook. Let us listen to her about her childhood, the changing food habits in India, and her perceptions on food security.
The fact that I come from a Brahmin community, which generally used only rice. So I was growing up with rice items, rice with lentils, rice with vegetables, rice with curds. That was our standard diet. Actually, we didn't face any, because it was a big joint family and there were seniors at home. So there was not much of an chance to experiment with food or anything like that, even though I think my mother would have liked it. But we grew up eating only standard rice, lentil, vegetable, sometimes sweets. But food was frugal. We didn't see the kind of exhibition of food that is done today.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you like somebody said and told me yesterday that they went to a Thai restaurant and things like that, it never happened. We were happy with whatever was the choice, whatever was the taste in the general society at that time.
You ate what is grown locally, right?
Oh yeah, yes. Rice was grown locally. Actually, I should tell you that most of the vegetables we see today in the market are all imported. I mean, imported in the sense that they came from some other countries. I think I told you about this story. Professor B.G.L. Swami wrote a book in my language. It is Kanada. Called South America in My Stomach.
Yes. Can you imagine? Hotel, South America. Yeah. Isn't that the name of the book you were
that
mentioning?
That is the one. He has said that Vasco da Gama brought, along with tobacco and things like that, he also brought French beans, the cluster beans, and cauliflower and things like that. Oh. These came from South America, according to him.
time. When you were a child, were cauliflowers and cabbages very common?
No, they were just coming into the country. Mm. Nobody ate it because of the elderly people at home. They abhorred anything that was brought from abroad.
Hmm.
They wanted only Indian vegetables. So locally. Actually, there was an old lady, my father's relative, she refused to eat tomatoes. Onion was no-no.
Okay.
Tomato was no. And some of the vegetables only. Like, much later, I remember, squash, which came from England, to Ooty, which is in the southern state of Tamil Nadu. I believe somebody brought it from London to Ooty, and it was grown there. And you know our big 200 acres garden in Bangalore, Lal Bagh. The commissioner of Lal Bagh stood outside the gate and asked people to please, there were farmers coming in to sell their vegetables. He asked them to please take half a dozen of these squashes and plant them in their field. First, they said no, for it was very difficult to convince any farmer that he can do something new. But 4 months after, they came in with cartloads of these squashes. So now it has become very Indian. See, all these vegetables. Called labor class had a different practice altogether.
What millets, were they eating?
Millets mostly. In the northern state, northern part of this state, they used to eat the finger maize and things like that.
Sorghum.
Sorghum. Some of them ate wheat also. But in the southern parts of the state, it was a millet called ragi. And there
finger
are other
millet.
Sorts of finger millet, and then something with a tail,
foxtail
millet, and that kind of
pearl
a thing.
Millet.
Pearl millet. Those things were grown in the villages, and they were eating that. My doctor tells me that it is because of the protein content or the slowing down of the digestion system when they eat that. That is how they were eating millets earlier. Because if you eat rice, 2 hours later you have to eat something else. You're already hungry. But if you ate millets, you could go for 6-7 hours. That was the general idea.
Which is why people working in the fields and those who labored ate these.
They ate them.
Kind of coarse grains.
Yes.
And they were also dry land crops, weren't they?
Mostly dry land crops.
So they could. They did not require.
They did
much
not
care.
Require much of irrigation or rains or anything like that. So
they were hardy crops for hardy people.
Absolutely, you're right.
So, but now, if you look at the food habits of people, it has changed. You had mentioned that the so-called people, the upper layers, were eating rice. And the laboring classes were eating millets. But now, more or less, you see that in India, everybody is eating either rice, in the southern states rice, and the northern states wheat. When did this change happen, and how did this change happen?
I think a sociologist friend of mine was telling me that it is about climbing the societal ladder, or aspiration, like you said some time back. See, the moneyed people, the people who owned the land, they were eating rice at home. But the people who worked in the land, they were eating the millets. So it was always that they had to come out of that shell and grow or something. When I was in school, people used to say, the first thing a farmer or his son wants is a bicycle, a torch, and a wristwatch. That sets him apart from the other farmers. Like that, white clothes. Wearing white clothes became a symbol of going up in the societal ladder. And that kind of a thing. That happened with food also.
And yet, Indu, you will be surprised to hear that when we went to Anugondanahalli, which is only about 40 kilometers from Bangalore and more like a suburb of the city than a village, we found that the children we spoke to still relished the food of their mothers and grandmothers, that is, finger millet and greens. Let us listen to the 12-year-old Kiran.
ಊಟದಲ್ಲಿ ನಿಂಗೆ ತುಂಬಾ ಇಷ್ಟ ಇರೋದು ಏನೇನು? ಆಮೇಲೆ ಮತ್ತೆ
ದ 13-year-old ನವ್ಯ ಲೈಕ್ಸ್ ರೈಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ರೈಸ್ ಬೇಸ್ಡ್ ಸ್ನಾಕ್ಸ್ ದೋ ಶಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಈಟ್ಸ್ ರಾಗಿ ದಟ್ ಹರ್ ಮದರ್ ಕುಕ್ಸ್.
ಅಂದ್ರೆ ಈಗ ಸ್ಕೂಲ್ ಲಂಚ್ ಬಾಕ್ಸ್ ಕಟ್ಕೊಂಡು ಹೋಗ್ತೀಯಲ್ವಾ, ಲಂಚ್ಗೆ ಏನ್ ಮಾಡ್ತಾರೆ?
ದೋಸೆ.
The 10-year-old Kirti also likes rice items.
Nan palav andre tumba ishta.
I asked them if they ever eat out with their families.
Nan daddy hotel ke ela kalsala tara na bekandre hotel maado adgene manel maadkortare namge.
Navya,
nam manel ishta.
Though we repeatedly asked them if they did not eat any junk foods such as chips and biscuits that are available in the tiniest of villages, the children insisted that they ate mostly home-cooked food. They did say that their parents did not take them out to eat in hotels, nor did they give them any money to buy foods from outside. Indu, now tell us, you have said social aspirations have been part of the reasons for change in food habits. But around the 60s, when India was grappling with food shortages, the government intervened actively to promote high-yield varieties of rice and wheat. Tell us about that.
Just after the Second World War, there was a severe famine and millions died in the northeastern state of Bengal.
Hmm.
The Bengal famine became a page in history.
Hmm.
So people were dying in the streets. That kind of a thing happened at that time. The government at that time, the British government, imported rice from Burma, today's Myanmar. So it happened every third year or fourth year there would be the. But in the 60s there was such severe drought in the country. There was absolutely no food available. So India had to buy wheat from America. The Americans gave us Mexican wheat, which was a different type of wheat from what we were growing in the northern states.
Hmm.
But that Mexican wheat became hybrid with Indian varieties.
Hmm.
And now I don't see any of that glutinous wheat grown in India.
Hmm.
So a lot of change has happened. After that experience of buying Mexican wheat, our Rice Institute in Tamil Nadu started experimenting on hybrid seeds and hybrid paddy to get more rice. So rice used to be a once-a-year crop.
Mm.
So the hybrid variety which the research institute started was fully grown at 3 months, and it could be harvested in 3 months. I must tell you this story.
Hmm.
I believe it was in the next door to the research institute in Tamil Nadu. They wanted to make the farmers grow this rice.
Hmm.
Farmers are very difficult to convince that this should be done. So the radio station in that area was asked to publicize this. So the research institute and radio station started giving out seeds, telling them when to plant, how to plant, when to do what and all that. For 3 months they started giving lessons on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So the number of that wheat was called IR8. But the villagers, they liked it very much and they started calling it radio rice. I feel very proud that it was called radio rice.
Huh, all power to the radio.
Today, an organization like NABARD tells you to eat NABARD, you know NABARD, NABARD,
which is
NABARD,
the National Bank for Agriculture and Rural Development.
The government of India has set it up and it is working very well with the farmers all over the country.
Yes.
They have brought out a book on millets and they advocate people should grow millets and eat millets now.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a bit of a funny thing.
So we have seen now that, you know, there is a change in food habits from the low glycemic index which sustained the laboring classes in the earlier times. Now there is a widespread cultivation and acceptance of comparatively higher glycemic foods like rice and wheat. But at the same time, because of the and so many government interventions, there has been the hunger situation, food security has improved. What implications do you think these changes have for the overall food security of our country, especially of the very poor?
The very poor in the country today are being looked after well. Yes, there are some state governments which are not doing the job as well as the others. Every family is, they have ration cards. Every family is given some amount of rice, wheat, lentils, oil, sugar. This much is assured for them. The kind of hunger deaths that used to happen, whether in the early years of the last century in Bengal, or things like that, are not to be seen.
I find it rather strange that in this whole process of combating hunger, how implementers and planners have been moving in opposite directions. At one point, the government was promoting hybrid varieties of paddy and wheat in an attempt to increase production. Now there's a realization of the value of our older coarse grains and cereals, and attempts are being made to revive those. There was a point when even the poor had some sort of food security. My mother was saying that the farm laborers that she saw in her childhood were dependent on their masters for food. But they did not go hungry because they received paddy and coconuts as wages and had access to seasonal fruit and vegetables.
Today, we have so many food security schemes being implemented by various governments. There is the noon meal scheme in all government schools. Food is provided in child care centers. There are organizations that provide food at welfare centers and run rural centers in times of famine and drought. We do not see the kind of rampant hunger that the previous generation has seen. And yet, we read reports of hunger and malnourishment in India. We asked Subhamma about this. Who are the people in her neighborhood who go hungry now?
ನಮ್ಮ ಏರಿಯಾದಲ್ಲಿ ಇದ್ದಾರೆ ಮೇಡಮ್ ಇಟ್ಕೆ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ರಿ ಅವರು, ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ತುಂಬ ಕಷ್ಟನೇ ಮೇಡಮ್.
ಯಾವ ತರ ಇಟ್ಕೆ ಫ್ಯಾಕ್ಟ್ರಿ ಅವರು ಮತ್ತೆ ಇನ್ಯಾವ ತರ ಜನ ಇದಾರೆ ಆ ತರ
ಅವರೇ ಮೇಡಮ್, ಕೂಲಿ ಮಾಡೋರು ಮೇಡಮ್,
ಕೂಲಿ ಮಾಡೋರು. ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ಈ ತರ ಅವ್ರ ಮಕ್ಕಳು ಅಂಗನವಾಡಿಗಳಿಗೆ ಹೋಗಲ್ವಾ, ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ಈ ತರ ರೇಷನ್ ಕಾರ್ಡ್ ಇಲ್ವಾ, ಯಾಕೆ ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ಈ ತರ ಕಷ್ಟ ಎದುರಿಸ್ತಾ ಇದಾರೆ?
ಅವರು ಊರಿನಿಂದ ಊರಿಗೆ ಬಂದಿರ್ತಾರೆ ಮೇಡಮ್, ಅದು ಆ ಊರಿನಿಂದ ಬರ್ಸ್ಕೊಂಬಾ ಅಂತೀರಿ ಮೇಡಮ್, ಅವರು ಬರ್ಸ್ಕೊಂಡ್ ಬಂದಿರಲ್ಲ, ಅವ್ರ ಹತ್ರ ಏನು ಇರಲ್ಲ ಮೇಡಮ್, ಅದಕ್ಕಾಗಿ ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ ಅದಕ್ಕೆ ಕಾರ್ಡ್ ಇರಲ್ಲ ಮೇಡಮ್ ಅವ್ರಿಗೆ. ನಾವು ಎಷ್ಟೋ ಟ್ರೈ ಮಾಡ್ತಾ ಇದ್ದೀರಿ ಮೇಡಮ್, ಅಂತವ್ರಿಗೆ ಕಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೊಡಿಸ್ಬೇಕು.
ಸುಬಮ ವಾಸ್ ಟಾಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದ ಮೈಗ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಲೇಬರರ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅದರ್ ಡೈಲಿ ವೇಜ್ ಅರ್ನರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಹರ್ ಏರಿಯಾ, ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ನೋ ಡಾಕ್ಯುಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಹೂ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ದೇರ್ಫೋರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸೆಸ್ ಎನಿ ಗವರ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಬೆನಿಫಿಟ್ಸ್. ಆಸ್ ಎ ಗವರ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ವರ್ಕರ್ ಹರ್ಸೆಲ್ಫ್, ಶಿ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಡ್ ಟು ಹೆಲ್ಪ್ ದೆಮ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಡಾಕ್ಯುಮೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ಬಟ್ ಮೆನಿ ಆರ್ ನಾಟ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ಗೆಟ್ ಎನಿ ಹೆಲ್ಪ್.
Isn't it a paradox that food production has increased? There are many programs to make food easily available, and yet we still have many hungry people in our country.
There are things are happening, things are very slowly happening. But then we must consider that, we must always realize that this is a huge country with a huge population. Nothing is enough. Nothing is enough. That is my... But hunger as such, I think, is not there today.
Indu, your words nothing is enough will ring in my ears for a long time. True, we have made tremendous progress in our country as far as food security is concerned. But I long for a time when there will not be a single hungry child in our country, when we are no longer placed at the top of the global hunger index, perhaps with greater commitment by governments, communities and individuals to grow and eat local foods, better supply and a universal distribution system that hunger can be satiated. This is Manju Venkat saying goodbye with Indu Ramesh and Smita Ramnathan. We acknowledge the assistance of Adarsh Venkat in editing this program.
This segment is part of an audio series highlighting the importance of communication as a major tool for development. It has been produced with the support of the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters and the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations.